The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following is a conversation between Scott Harrison, founder and CEO of Charity Water, and Denver Frederick, host of The Business of Giving, on AM 970 The Answer WNYM in New York City.
It was a bit over a year ago that I had the pleasure to have Scott Harrison, the founder and CEO of Charity Water, on the show. Well, he has recently come out with a great new book titled Thirst, a story of redemption, compassion, and a mission to bring clean water to the world. And I thought it would be a good idea to have him back for a few to discuss it with us. Good evening, Scott, and welcome to The Business of Giving.
Hey, Denver, it's great to be back on. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. For any listeners who may not be familiar with Charity Water, just tell us a little bit about the organization.
Yeah, sure. So we are focused on bringing clean and safe drinking water to every single person on this planet. And we are currently about 663 million people, or one-tenth of the world, away from achieving that goal. And we've been fighting for this for about 12 years. And what makes us unique is that 100% of all donations received from the public go directly to funding clean water projects, which we then prove using sensors and using satellite image on Google Earth and Google Maps so people can see where their money's going.
Right.
And that's allowed us to get about 8.5 million people clean water.
Fantastic. You're not our father's charity or our grandfather's charity. Your story, Scott, from a self-absorbed, wasted nightclub promoter to building a purpose-driven life and an extraordinary organization is really beautifully told in Thirst. But after a transformation like that, how have you continued to evolve and grow, and in what ways has that happened?
Yeah, well, right, I write about this in the book. I mean, I was a scoundrel. I was a degenerate nightclub hedonist for about 10 years, and I was fortunate at 28 to change course and go live in a humanitarian organization in West Africa and come across the water crisis. And I think what was important for me was giving up all those vices in one fell swoop. Mm. And I just realized that I couldn't smoke again. I could never touch drugs or gamble or, you know, pornography or any of that stuff. I had to really shed the trappings of my old life, you know, in a cold turkey fashion, I guess.
Right.
If I wanted any new story to unfold, and you know, that was now 15 years ago, and my life looks so different now. I've been able to travel the world preaching a message of generosity and compassion and care for others and, you know, preaching a message of clean drinking water. I mean, everybody can agree on that. It's been a really nice thing. And, you know, I'm married. I've got young kids now. And my four-year-old the other day asked me how old he would have to be until he could go and help people get clean water like daddy. And, you know, that made me feel great for a moment. I didn't really know the answer. I said, I don't know, 16, 18? I'm not sure.
Yeah, but it also, it's got to make you feel very
proud.
It's
just a very different life.
Yeah, it brings a tear to your eye.
Yeah.
It does.
And I would hope that I can make it look fun to my kids. You know, I've been to 69 different countries now. Mm-hmm. I've been to Ethiopia 30 separate times, which is where we have a lot of our work. And, you know, I was chasing all the wrong things for so many years. And hope that I can show my kids that a life of serving others and using your talents and your resources to do that is a much more fulfilling life.
For sure. The book is over 300 pages, although I'll tell you, it reads quite a bit faster than that. But that does require a significant amount of recollection and reflection. Was there a part of this book that you most enjoyed writing or was the most beneficial for you as you put down the words onto a piece of paper?
Well, I love the mercy ships period of it. I mean, going back and being able to honor some of the people that really inspired me back then, there was in particular a doctor named Dr. Gary Parker, and his story was amazing. He was a plastic surgeon from California that had heard about this floating hospital and said, okay, good, I'll go do 3 months. And when I set foot on that hospital ship, he'd been there 20 years. He's now been there over 35 years. And it was just so fun being able to go back, look through some of the 50,000 photographs that I'd taken that two-year period.
Uh-huh.
And, well, you know, this was the eve of digital.
Yeah.
you shot more than you needed to because it was free.
Yeah.
And it was just fun being able to tell some of those stories and how I eventually found my way to water through health, realizing that so many of these people were sick because they didn't have their most basic need met for health, for life. I mean, imagine not having clean water. Imagine having to walk 6 or 7 hours every day to a swamp. Imagine losing a child in your arms to diarrhea, completely preventable if you just had clean water. Mm-hmm. So it was fun. I'd say the hardest part to write about was the nightclub part because I was just such an idiot. And, you know, there's some people, as we interviewed them, you know, that I realized it really hurts living a valueless life or certainly a life with, you know, with all the wrong intentions.
Yeah, that's so
it was tough facing some of those demons.
Yeah. Interesting when you look back like that. Well, speaking of stories, you are the consummate storyteller, and maybe that's one of the skills you did pick up as a nightclub promoter that turned out to actually be pretty useful. What do you believe are the keys to telling a great story, and how has that helped advance the work of Charity Water?
Well, gosh, I just think storytelling is... It's the most critical piece to the organization's success. I think it's why we've been able to raise over $250 million in a short time and get 1 million people excited about an issue that really doesn't face them. I mean, I think, look, most people listening right now did not wake up this morning saying, oh, I need to do something about the global water crisis.
Right.
Now, most people didn't wake up with the 660 million people on their mind. They woke up and probably took a long shower and used some water, maybe from their Brita filter, you know, to make their coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only stories that can get people to pause and say, well, what if I woke up this morning, like a woman named Eberhat we were just with in Ethiopia, and I walked 2.5 hours, and I walked down to a swamp, and I was worried about hyena attacks on that walk. I was worried about maybe even being raped. And then I waited and I dug in the sand and I found water and then I hauled it back 3 miles, 40 pounds on my back to then give it to my children. And I walked in and my children were crying and I knew that this water might kill them, but there was no other solution. You know, I think it's telling these stories. There's a story in the book where I lived in a village where a 13-year-old girl hung herself.
Yeah.
She spilled her water
mm-hmm.
after one of these walks. And, you know, I think everybody listening would agree that a 13-year-old girl shouldn't have a noose hanging around her neck because she spilled her water. But when you understand it in the context of her life and her struggle and her village, it actually makes a lot of sense. And I think it's the stories that are able to maybe get people to reject the apathy that's so easy to embrace with these global issues and say, wow, maybe I could do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I could help one person, one family, one community.
Yeah, and I think you have a wonderful way of putting the reader or the listener in the scene of the story that you're telling. You almost feel like you're there and you're witnessing it as opposed to just listening to it, and I think that's a real gift.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, the book is so much more than just your story, as inspiring as that is, and it comes along at a time when so many people are feeling stressed and anxious and lost, and maybe more than anything else, it seems, disconnected. What would you say to those individuals who are having their Uruguay moment, and that's where you bottomed out, that might help them take that first critical step?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think, look, a couple of things I wanted to do with the book. I wanted to show people that, you know, no matter how stuck you might feel, no matter how you might have messed up in the past, chances are you weren't half as bad as I was. I mean, it would be, unless you killed someone, as you read this, it's going to be hard to imagine a worse person that you might know. And I really wanted to show that nobody is beyond redemption, and it's never too late to change course, to walk 180 degrees in the other direction. And I did that by returning to a lost faith and a mm-hmm. lost virtue and a lost morality. And, you know, I would hope to say to people, look, your past doesn't need to define your future. And in fact, you know, all those terrible things in your past, all those mistakes, the things that you might be ashamed of, you can actually use to power a very different and significant future. And, you know, if a scumbag, cokehead, degenerate nightclub promoter can help bring clean drinking water to 8.5 million people and raise $250 million, you know, what might others do that haven't even, you know, sunk to the depths of despair that I had? And the wonderful thing, I think, too, about, you know, maybe this book at this moment is water is an unbelievable it's a unifying issue.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Muslim, whether you're a Mormon or an atheist, you know, whether you're a Republican or an independent or a Democrat, everybody can come together and stand for clean water for others. Regardless of those beliefs, it's a big tent.
Yeah.
And it's been so exciting to see people who might fight to the death on every social or political issue known to man, but can come together under that tent and say, you know what? We believe in generosity. We believe in compassion. We believe that human beings need this basic, they need to have this basic need met to thrive. And we'll support this.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Let me close with this, Scott. Charity Water has helped to reimagine for the better what a nonprofit organization can and should be. The 100% model that you talked about a moment ago, your use of technology, radical transparency, and so on. The organization is now into its second decade. How do you see it being different, and what new boundaries do you think you're going to be pushing here in the next decade?
Well, it's been an exciting time of growth. We started the new decade growing 40% last year.
Mm-hmm.
in America. International giving was actually down 6%.
Right.
We continued that growth this year. We're seeing 40% growth again this year. We're coming in to raise about $70 million this year.
Fantastic.
So I think, you know, when you put two 40% years back together, you start thinking bigger. So we just unveiled a plan to our shareholders, the 131 families, that pay for all the overhead at Charity Water, that pay for the OPEX and the, mm-hmm. the staff. We unveiled a $1 billion plan where we want to get 25 million new people clean water by 2025. That's going to require us going about four times as fast, investing four times more in the field in a lot less time. So I think we're thinking about how do we take everything we've learned in 12 years and use that to propel a more sustainable, more impactful, more scalable future of Charity Water. We feel like the best is yet to come.
Yeah, and an audacious goal like that will get you think differently, that's for sure.
That's right. You can't incrementalize your way when you set such big targets. And that's exciting for us to think about what would need to be different in the next 6 or 7 years. You know, what got us here will not get us there.
Yeah, no, it is exciting. Well, Scott Harrison, the founder and CEO of Charity Water and the author of Thirst, A Story of Redemption, Compassion, and a Mission to Bring Clean Water to the World. Thanks so much for being here this evening. I urge everyone to pick up a copy. And if not for yourself, perhaps someone close to you that would benefit from a remarkable and inspiring story. It was a real pleasure to have you here, Scott.
Thanks, Edver. And just a reminder, you know, all the money goes to Charity Water, so I don't make a penny from the book. So just in doing that, they're actually supporting the need of people around the world with clean water.
Thanks for that word. I'll be back with more of The Business of Giving right after this.
The Business of Giving can be heard every Sunday evening between 6 and 7 p.m. Eastern on AM 970 The Answer in New York and on iHeartRadio. You can follow us at Biz of Give on Twitter and at Facebook.com/Business of Giving.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.